Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover luxurious duvet sets today. Visit harrycurry.com for stylish comfort this spring.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. The horrific story you heard at the start of the programme yesterday, Caitlin and Alice, who were abused on the streets of Wexford. Caitlin was busking and this man and with a buggy and a partner came along, and you probably heard the tirade. It's now up on the Radio 1 Instagram page, and I've also tweeted the footage on at Joe Liveline. And if you can help the Gardaí, who are treating it as a hate crime, they would deeply, deeply appreciate your help. Margaret, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. It's a difficult one to explain, but it's a very awful one if you're in the situation. Tell us about your daughter who's sitting the Leaving Cert this summer.
Okay, my daughter's sitting the Leaving Cert this summer, and she brought to my attention last year that the adjustment grade, would be dropped this year by 2%. Yeah. And I didn't think anything of it. And then last Friday, a friend said to me, you do realise that there's been a major increase in applications for colleges to the CAO. So there's 6,400 more applicants this year than last year. And then it's said that about 25% of those are people who sat their leave insert in 2023, 24, 22.
Okay, now we have to try and explain it to listeners. Because of COVID and the whole disruption, there was a decision made during COVID to add to the scores that people got in their leaving cert. There was they're trying to phase it out now. Last year, every person who sat the Leaving Cert got 7.5% added to their points because of the disruption. This year, that figure is now 5.5%, so it's a drop of 2%. And it means anyone who deferred their Leaving Cert points from last year when they got the 7.5% boost, in your view, is in a superior and indeed unfair position to anyone sitting their Leaving Cert this year who will only get a 5.5% boost. That is the dilemma, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just looking at their disadvantage this year. And what I'm looking for is fairness. I'm just looking to see that each student is treated the same. I wrote myself to the Minister of Education on Monday, and I just asked for two options: either adjust those who are pre-2025, or leave it the same as last year. That's so the two options. It's all I'm looking for is fairness for the students. It's a very stressful time for them.
I know that.
We talk about a Leaving Cert student. It's a Leaving Cert house. The whole house does the leaving.
Good point.
Somebody has to get the food. Somebody has to get the stationery. Mm. Somebody has to do the lifts. Somebody has to. It's everybody.
And everyone else in the house has to curtail their noise, their music, their interference, their whatever. Rightly so, to facilitate the Leaving Cert student. Even though it's not the be-all and end-all, but in Ireland it's such an important exam. And in Ireland, because of the shortage of places, it's supply and demand. And points mean courses, and more points mean you have a better chance of getting in than the person beside you, who might have done as well in the Leaving Cert last year, but they got a 7.5% boost. This year, you did as well as the person sitting beside you last year, but you're only getting a 5.5% boost. Now, what did Helen McEntee reply to you? Well, she looked to her eyes, I presume, and it's a big issue.
She got an acknowledgement, and she said she would get back to me on this. I got an acknowledgement within an hour to say that they would come back to me
on the email
on the
or whatever.
Issue.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you suggest one of the solutions is those who got the 7.5% bonus last year. You want one of the options is to reduce that bonus.
Yeah, normally just bring it to this year's. Deflate it, just drop it to the same. So they're just the same, just even them out. bring them down. However, I've been reading, the minister has said that they can't do that, and they said that the reason that there's apparently that there's a lawful basis, that is their set grade.
Yeah, this is going to end up in the High Court.
Exactly.
If the minister tried to take 2% off, given that the point system is so tight, if the minister tried to take 2% off, say, somebody who had, 500 points, they'd lose 10 points. That could be the difference between getting on a course and not getting. So if they tried to do that to somebody who already has been given their points, that's a straight walk in to the High Court by some family who are upset. And you say the simple solution is keep the 7.5, but do you keep it like COVID is over, thank God? Do you keep this bonus scores in perpetuity?
No. The leave insert has been changed in the new syllabus. The full new syllabus comes in 2026. So we have a full washout, and we change the thing and change the point so that make it all new, fresh. For the short-term solution here, I think, is leave the 7.5 grade. If there's a legal decision to be made, if legislation has to be changed, bring the changes in 2025, 26, so that either next year it's ready, or else keep the same grade, the same inflation of 7.5 until the new syllabus. This could be the difference, Joe, of 60 points. If you had somebody that was on the cusp of, we'll say, a H5, and they were on the cusp of that, if they got that 2% inflation, that could give them 10 more points by their six subjects. Now, that's a total different kettle of fish for these kids in a stressful time. And I agree with you, the leave-in is not the be-all and end-all, and the leave-in doesn't suit everyone. But at least let's give us all a fair chance that we're all on an equal footing. That's all I'm looking for.
OK, 51551 is a text number. Joe at rt.ie, 0818 715 815. Margaret, did your daughter say that her colleagues, her fellow students, are talking about this?
Yes, and have been.
And they're worried about it?
Yes. And they just want to be fair. I mean, how can you, as you eloquently put it, the difference of getting points to your child. You've worked really, really hard. How do you look at your child and say, you didn't get it because the person who probably didn't get as good a leave insert as you had the 2% inflation and they got it above you? That's not fair. I mean, Ellen McIndee has talked about the lawfulness of adjusting a grade. So there's lawful, fair and transparent. We have to work on the fairness and the transparency here for all students, because this includes next year's fifth years and the TY students
and
when I
put it to you, you have to iron it out of the system at some stage. You're saying this, the system, the curriculum is going to change dramatically. Why not get rid of the grade inflation completely with the new curriculum?
Meantime, sort out the lawful basis next year, and until you have the legal answers for us for 2026, retain the current 7.5 grade for 2025.
Okay. And what's she hoping to study in third level?
Business. She's hoping to do something in business.
Okay. Now, the solution, of course, is to create more third level places. And in fairness,
that's the problem.
In fairness, Simon Harris, when he was Minister for Higher Education, did knock on the doors of every third level institution and say, I want more places for third level students. That's what we need. Why we have to turn young people who want to continue their education after doing their leaving cert, why we have to turn them away from third level education is because of supply and demand. Well, the simple solution is that everybody who wants to go to, I know all the naysayers on this, but everyone who wants, just as everyone who wants to go on to second level, one, you have to stay to 16, but goes on. But there was a time in this country when you didn't get to second level, and the government turned around in 1966, and they said, 60 years ago, they said, there will be a place for everyone who wants to stay in second level. Brilliant. Now, 60 years later, can we not say there will be a place for everyone who wants to stay in third level once they've done their leaving cert and have a qualification. That would be the difference. That would sort out all of this in one fell swoop.
There was new places announced last year, mm-hmm. and they're not even ready. They were supposed to be ready. Okay. There's a backlog. There's only one place in Ireland to do veterinary. My daughter doesn't want to do veterinary, but there's only one place, and there was two new places. The courses aren't ready. So that's why we have trainee vets
out in Budapest, I think. Isn't that where they're studying?
And paying a fortune. Some people are going over to the UK. And they're paying crazy money. I know one particular girl, she's on her third year, and she will have a loan till she's 45 to pay back because she didn't get veterinary in Ireland.
And Margaret, have you spoken to other parents of, because it's a certain cohort every year, but have you spoken to other parents of Leaving Cert students?
Well, before this, I've had 100 texts in the last hour of people. They want fairness. They want mm-hmm. to be fair to the 2024 kids, but they also want to be fair, so students, I should say, and they want to be fair to the 2025. And it's just fairness all around the places, as you said. I mean, I was trying not to bring other issues in, but making places available in college that's the goal. Yeah. The goal is to get to do the courses that you want to actually study. And there's not enough places here in Ireland for the students. Yeah. But the 24s are going to have an unfair advantage to the 2025 students this year.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see. I know it's featured in newspapers already. I don't think there's much. Well, apart from Helen McAtee saying she can't go near last year because she'll end up at a high court, be challenged as a civil case of unfairness. You can't be reducing grades already given. And already sent out on the legal document, which is your Leaving Cert results. So the only answer is, to either go back to last year's 7.5% bonus. I think if you go back to last year's 7.5% bonus, you have to say something about next year and the following year. And what is the plan here
to
iron COVID out of the system? Yeah.
Yeah, take the legal advice for the lawfulness for next year, and then number two, make sure that when the new adjusted course is in and starts fully in 2026, it's transparent as at that date the way the point system will work thereafter for the Leaving Cert, because none of those students will have been impacted at any stage with COVID.
Yeah. Okay, Margaret, we have Leaving Cert weather at the moment, but it's fabulous, which it's due to go soon, apparently. But it will be back for the Leaving Cert, as we all know, at the beginning of June. So thanks indeed, Margaret, and above all, best wishes. And I'm very cognizant of what you said. You're reminding everybody that the Leaving Cert isn't the be-all and end-all, but in this country it's very, very important due to the shortage of third-level places. Good evening, Margaret, and best wishes to your wonderful daughter. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 is the text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at rt.ie. Assumpta, good afternoon, is in County Leash. Grade inflation. Yeah. Your daughter, she's doing the Leaving Cert in a few weeks, months.
She's doing the Leaving Cert in a few weeks, And, I've been hearing from the beginning of the year, they were aware that the grade inflation was coming down.
Mm-hmm.
But, they're at a disadvantage as well because they were in first year when COVID hit.
Ah.
They had, and again, lockdown in second year. But, like, it wasn't just the time, the lockdown. Like, with the last couple of years there was a lot of teachers out sick and they wouldn't be replaced because they weren't available. If anybody needs it, they need it as well. And it's putting extra pressure on them, especially, anyone hoping to achieve high points or whatever. The grade inflation could be the difference of getting your place or not getting your place. Yeah.
And because, again, to explain to listeners who might not have heard the start, last year's Leaving Cert students got a bonus of 7.5% on top of their points. this year's Leaving Cert students are getting a bonus of 5.5% on top of the points. Now, you say there are two, listeners say, well, they're two different years. But the point is, a lot of last year's students deferred. So they're in competition for the places, and points mean places, with this year's students. So, but there, last year, are getting 7.5% extra. This year, they're only getting 5.5%. Tara is listening as well. Tara, good afternoon. You're listening to Margaret and Assumpta. You have how many children doing the Leaving Cert?
I have one this year, and I have three that have already been through the experience.
Okay. So are you worried about this grade inflation?
To be honest, I just think there should be a little bit of calm and perspective in relation to it. I think every year there seems to be, especially since COVID, there seems to have been, you know, perceived unfairness. Say, for argument's sake, in 2019, the 2019s might have felt hard done by because the 2020s got predicted grades and inflated grades.
Yeah,
and then again, you know, students who sit, you know, they sit exams and then they could choose the best of the predicted grades or the SAT exam. You know, so there's always seems to have been some kind of adjustments along the way. And somebody always feels a little bit hard done by. But I think sometimes the parents need to kind of sit back, take a little bit of perspective and calm and say, you know what, there's always going to be something that doesn't seem as easy as last year or as hard as last year. You know, there could be a maths paper, for argument's sake, the maths was hard last year and it could have been perceived to be an easier paper another year. And I think the parents going on and on too much about it is adding to the pressure that the children are under. And I think if they just, you know, step back a little bit and say, sometimes in every walk of life, there is perceived unfairness and sometimes that just has to be dealt with, and it helps the children, I think, sometimes and students to say, well, you know what, there's always an obstacle that I'm going to come across and I'm going to try and get, you know, I'm going to do my best to get through it. And the other thing is there's so many opportunities for PLCs and for, you know, a third level education, and somebody who really wants to do a particular course in general, there's a back door route into that. And
What you're saying, and don't check me if I'm going to correct, you're saying, Tara, which is, I've heard it before, wisely, life is unfair betimes.
Sometimes there can be a perceived unfairness, and it's not always unfair. Like, for argument's sake, the 2025 students got to sit their junior cert. The previous few years didn't, didn't have that experience.
Was a force exam.
And these little adjustments of a couple of percent, yes, it seems like a lot, but, you know, it seems like a lot. It's not really huge in the scheme of things. And, you know, I mean, the adjustments were made for a reason and they're now being scaled back slightly. I just think it's being overhyped.
Okay, Assumpta, how do you hear what Tara said?
I appreciate that point, and she has a good point. But, you know, that's poor comfort to the students, you know, especially in High Point, you know, that you miss out.
There were students last year who had High Points and they missed out because of the inflated grades as well. They may have already got it, but they didn't because, you know, it led to more people getting High Points.
Yes, but so, is there not more CEO applicants from the last few years this year than in previous years? Because, you know, they probably have a slight advantage.
Yeah, well, the numbers are going up. Well, depending on the population,
But there's always a year that defers places and that you're competing against previous years that were deferred, you know. So I just think it's not helpful. That's just my point, putting too much pressure onto. I think a lot of the time the pressure comes from the parents.
But, well, in my case, there's no pressure coming. I'm hearing some from the students. I'm hearing it from my daughter. I'm hearing it from her friends. Like, I've been aware of this, you know, since before Christmas, probably since the beginning of the academic year. This isn't new from today for me. I've been here. So it obviously is playing on their minds.
But what about Tara's point that, one, it has to be, it goes back to COVID. This year, we're in first year, but they did sit their junior cert, so they have some experience of a state exam and the challenges surrounding that. It has to be ironed out at some stage. Now, I know Margaret earlier was talking about changing the curriculum, but the curriculum will change, but I don't know in itself, given supply and demand. something that Tara is saying, like, it has to be ironed out at some stage, and every year there's something, especially because of the horror of COVID that visited so many aspects of our lives, including our lives. But it has to be ironed out at some stage or something.
Yeah, but surely, but, you know, if the curriculum is changing, you know, in so close, let it go to then, you know, get a complete reset. Like, I did my Leaving Cert more than 30 years ago, and it was the exact same.
Yeah.
You know, high points.
Well, points being places, it's to do with supply and demand.
I actually repeated my Leaving Cert. I had a really good Leaving Cert, and I missed out by 1 point. And I had to, you know, I repeated. Things haven't changed in 30 years. So let's, you know, why not let it be until there is a real change?
Let me bring in Sean De Bruin is in Limerick. Sean.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And you teach in Mary Immaculate, which you know well, primary teacher training college. Go ahead. You've an overarching analysis of the grade inflation.
I think you've outlined very clearly the reasons for it, and we all understand those at this stage. I suppose really the issue, and it's most acute for the grade inflation when students from 1 year compete for CEO places in colleges when they are competing with one another. Now, every student who does the Leaving Cert doesn't want to go to college, nor should they go to college. But for those who are competing for college places, it's most acute when students from 1 year are competing with students from another year. And I suppose really what I suggest should be considered would be that the Minister of Education should indicate that if I do the Leaving in, say, last year, there would be a certain number of years I could apply for a CEO place. And eventually what would happen then would be the students would compete in an even footing. Now, I'm not precluding students from applying for college. If I am a true student, a very important category, I'd love to go to college. But there's a special category for those called mature students, and that kicks in at 23. So therefore, from 23, you're in a different category. So you're 4 years ahead of when you do your leaving, you're 5 the absolute most. So I would suggest the Minister should consider putting a limit. But of course, this would need to be agreed with the CAO, with the department and all of those, and then eventually you'd have students competing on an even footing. But if you did the Leaving Cert last year, and I did it this year, and you're competing with me, but you had a higher grade inflation category than I had, there is a perceived inequity in that. But of course, there are no two students who compete on an equal footing. If, for example, you can afford to get grinds and I cannot, I'm not competing on an equal footing with you. But from a grade inflation perspective, I suggest that should be looked at as a possibility. And you'll give students a good advance warning. You can apply for your course for maybe 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And that could have been done a few years back and could be almost washed through the system now at this stage. But then if you said, I really want to go to college at 23 or 4, of course you can. And you can use your points without being altered on the basis that you're now a mature student who's clicks in at the age of 23. And as you know, most mature student applicants to college are decided by a number of different ways. It's often an interview, it's your points or a combination of both. Mm. So you would not be disadvantaged, I would suggest, at this stage. But it's going to be very hard to constantly keep reducing it by 5%, 3%, 2%. There will always be a difference if we keep following that route.
So you're saying we have to bite the bullet and get rid of grade inflation as soon as we can.
At some stage, but I wouldn't disadvantage a student if I was only 1 point short of a course and I want to apply, of course you should get that opportunity. And I would suggest that a number of years, 2-3 years would be sufficient. And then if you still want to continue, when you reach 23, you can enter by a different route. You're not disadvantaged forever.
Okay. But the ultimate solution is places, more places.
It is, but see, places are decided by three factors. Number one, the number of places, the number of applicants, and the calibre of the applicant applying. And that's simply the three critical elements of getting a place in college. But every year, as a student, unfortunately...
Now, the other element is the supply of places, the number of places.
Yeah, that's
available.
What I say, the number of places, The number of places, the number of applicants, and the points acquired by the applicants. They are the three that decide places. But every year in most courses, in lots of courses, a number of students are disappointed by 1 point. And you can imagine how disappointed somebody is.
It's awful. It's a horror story.
Yeah. It is, and indeed some people said the leaving isn't the end of the world. At the time, it is the end of the world for the students.
I know what you're saying, it's not the end. But it is a gateway to so many, it's a gateway to third level. You can't get into third level without the leaving cert, and given that our third level places are limited, that's why it becomes such a scramble. And we have, as you say, one point. Anna, stay there, Sean, if you can, please. Sean De Bruin. Anna, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
You agree with Margaret. What's your solution? A bonus last year of 7.5% on your leaving cert points. The bonus this year is down to 5.5%. Do you think it's unfair?
I do. I think the students this year are working as hard.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know, doing their leaving cert. They're taking the same pressures as students of last year and the year before since COVID. But they're being penalised. I just think it's an unfair, you know, a situation that they're in. Like, I think as that girl Margaret said, if they can possibly just hold off until the entire education exams are changed. But I think it's unfair. I just think it's unfair on these students. You know, and I'm not talking about a child who's working for 500 points. I'm talking for
kids working
for everybody, not the higher point kids. I'm talking for the lower point, not lower, but you know what I mean, under 500. Yeah. I think it's unfair, and they are definitely at a disadvantage from it. It's the highest applicants of students are applying from other years than ever before.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, which is great. If only we had the places, everyone should be able to get to aspire to and get.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah, because there was a time. You're younger than me from what you said. But there was a time when lots of families didn't have anyone who got beyond primary school. This is in our lifetime. In our lifetime, it's shocking.
I totally agree with you. That is it's a different topic.
Yes, of course.
You know what I mean? But it is a huge disadvantage because the places aren't there to start with. Even if all of these, the students that are coming in from the last 3 years are reapplying. But it's a disadvantage already, but it's a huge disadvantage to the students going in this year.
Okay.
If they're being taken. Like if my daughter does the exact same as her peers from last year, she could be down, as that girl Margaret said, 60 points. If it's a 2%, if she loses 10% on a grade, she could be down 60 points. And that's not fair.
Tara, how do you respond to that? That's not fair, as Anna just said. Tara? Is Tara gone? Okay. Nollig, good afternoon. Nollig Cadden, Nollig. Okay, I have a break to do. Break back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Tara, back to Assumpta's point, it is simply unfair.
That's Anna's point. Yeah. No, I do understand that there is some unfairness in it. Mm. My point was that there has always been, like, you know, a perception of unfairness when the predicted grades came and the inflated grades, or if there was perhaps an easy English paper 1 year and an easy maths paper the following year, and you know, 2% from what I understand is the adjustment this year. So it's 5.5% as opposed to 7.5%. So, you know, 2% of 600 points is 12 points. It does make a difference for some people, you know, but I just think to build resilience in our children, we have to say sometimes these things are a little unfair and we have to, you know, overcome that and work away and deal with what we're being dealt.
Yeah. And you say earlier on, David, young people will find their way anyway, invariably. I know it can be very tough.
Yes, and it can be difficult. And I have been through that experience myself, where they may not have got their first choice first time, and they worked towards where they wanted to go, and you know, can get there. And sometimes they take a different path, and that's okay too. And I just think it's to say, well, sometimes
these things, and I'm not saying that sometimes you have to accept unfairness and not try to do something with it, but I think, you know, I think to put it into perspective with what they're doing at the moment and let them focus on, mm-hmm. you know, working to achieve the best they can with what they're doing at the moment, and, you know, the rest will work itself out.
Anna, how do you respond to that?
It will hopefully all work out for them. But, you know, they are working. My daughter's working to the best of her ability.
Yeah.
But she's still not going.
Okay, she's not being judged or scored on the same system.
No.
Yeah.
Which is unfair and wrong.
Which is when you go back to 2020 and 2019 and the same thing happened. You know, but that's... That just had to be dealt with as well. You know, the people who did their Leaving Cert didn't have inflated grades, but during
that time for the inflated grade, I had a son doing his Leaving Cert for the predicted grading, and that was a nightmare for so many kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was an absolute nightmare. He got dropped in six subjects.
And but it doesn't matter for some people, felt they got a bonus. You know,
why should they get a bonus last year compared to this year? When there's no COVID or anything going on now, why should they be at an advantage straight away and disadvantage?
There is no COVID or anything going on now, of course.
No, that's what I said, yeah.
2025 right. Students, I suppose, had an opportunity to sit a state exam. 24 didn't. Whether the inflated grades that happened were fair or not fair, the point about it is there is always some perceived unfairness by a group that are doing, you know there's always something. And, you know, like it's like people who, as you say, you know, who some have grind, some don't. Some, you know, have home support. Some don't. Mm-hmm. Some, you know,
educational.
There's always something. But
in fairness, when I was going to third level from Ballyfermot, I was one of myself, Barry Cuddon and Brian Dowling. I think we're the only three from a population of 40,000 that went to third level. It's brilliantly better now. Brilliantly better. Thanks to some fantastic schools. It's not as good as other areas, but it is exponentially better. So it can improve. And part of that improvement is obviously the education system in Ballyfermot with the second level education. But the other thing as well is the expansion in the number of places available.
Absolutely.
Nollig Cadden, I'll go back to people, I promise. Nollig, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You're worried.
Thank you very much for discussing this important topic. Mm-hmm. And I'd just like to, I suppose, hone in on a few of the points that are being discussed. So with regard to, you know, the perception of unfairness, well, I think we have already established that it's more than a perception. It's actually unfair. One cohort of applicants for CAO places having a bonus award system of 7.5% versus current students. So we have limited places, and the same. All of these people are applying for the same positions. So it's obvious that some of those are going to be people who were awarded bonuses at 7.5%. In a sense of people who are doing their current Leaving Cert. We also talk about resilience. I absolutely agree that we should teach our children to be more resilient. However, we also need to teach them to stand up when they're being disadvantaged and to speak out when they're being treated unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my points.
But in terms of a solution, Nollig, do you think you should simply stick to 7.5% from last year?
Only because, Joe, the time is upon us. We have no other choice.
Okay. No, well, that's the point. Kathleen is there. Now, if we can get Nollig back, I will. Kathleen.
The 7.5%. Thank you, Joe, for taking my call.
Thanks for making the call.
7.5% should absolutely continue to apply for those doing their Leaving Cert this year. I think the point has gotten lost somewhere that these kids were only in first year when COVID struck Ireland, and they need to be awarded the chance to finish out in school graciously and let COVID be behind them.
Okay.
They were the first year to encounter it in secondary school.
And it's only working its way out now, such was the longevity of COVID, and two, the impact on so many people.
So for them, first and second year would have been badly impacted, and COVID was still around when they were doing the junior third.
Yeah. Now, what about the argument? Well, first year at the beginning of COVID, but at least they got to sit a junior cert. Other last year, the previous year, didn't sit the junior cert because of the way COVID fell and the duration of COVID, two years effectively. They had the advantage of being able to sit the junior cert, so they had some experience of the challenges of a state exam, though. I don't know what difference, how you could actually calibrate or put a number on that. Sinead is in the UK. Sinead, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good.
Nice to talk to you.
Likewise. A-levels in the UK.
Yeah, I just rang up to say my daughter's applying for college in Dublin. And it's quite interesting listening to the conversation here because they really got rid of it. It was like cold turkey that when my daughter was doing GCSEs, that was the first year that they didn't do inflated grades, and they went from the inflation straight into just normal grades again. So it wasn't very good for them that year, but then it's just been done now and dusted. So for her applying, it is quite hard because they don't have inflated grades. She's just working from what would have been pre-COVID as well.
Oh, so they don't make any allowance in the UK?
No, they did for, I think, 1 year, and that was it.
Wow, and then they got rid of it. End off.
Yeah, end off. So there's no compensation. It's done and dusted. It's just not there anymore.
And was there any controversy over it?
Well, I think at the time, yeah, people weren't very happy, particularly for the A-level students, but it was just done. I think there was more stuff going on. It was during the Conservatives, other things were happening.
Yeah.
So, no, there wasn't the same way. I mean, it definitely affected the students that year, but then it was just ripping off the plaster. I just think there is no kind of easy solution to it, because I think lots of ill ways are probably a little bit unfair.
Well, there are more. My understanding is, I'm not up to speed now today on the actual figures, but there are more places in third level in the UK. Anna, do you want to? Well, Anna, look at what happened in the UK. Nothing now. Not that ever should be our barometer in any other country, but.
It was actually England
Sinead.
Do it differently. So Wales,
yes, of course,
sorry to interrupt you. But Wales then had, so it was different places had. Wales still kept it for a year or so.
Yeah. And Northern Ireland is different again.
Yeah.
Anna, in England, they allowed 1 year and that was the end of it. Is our problem is that did anyone realise when this was happening that this was going to follow us for 5, 6, 7 years?
No, we didn't realise it, but at the same time, it's been done.
Yeah.
So therefore, this year's students shouldn't be punished for it when other year's students have been given the grace. You know, that wasn't our choice not to just do 1 year and then change it all back to the way it was. That was, our government's decision to do that. So, but therefore, our students shouldn't be punished because of it. It wasn't our choice. You know what I mean? We didn't agree to it. It wasn't done. So, it's kind of a discussion that really doesn't come into it because it has been done.
Yeah, and also I think Sinead, this is no reflection, but just from my listening to British media, especially radio between LBC and Radio 4 and 5 Live and various phone-in shows, that education wouldn't be as big a topic in the UK, in England, as it is here in Ireland. Maybe I'm correct me if I'm right, it's about as a.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I don't think it's nearly worse in ways. I think it would be. I just think it happened in one part. I think it happened at the time people were unhappy, and then we've moved on.
Yeah.
Betty
Daly, come in, Betty.
How are you, Joe?
How are you? Your point, please.
No, I agreed with Tara. It's the parents that's probably getting more upset over that child getting less points.
No.
But it's like everything else. Like, even if there's a sports day in school, all the children have to come first. Nobody can come last.
Okay. And
no, I can I come in there, Joe?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, my daughter is surrounded by hundreds of girls and boys doing the Leaving Certs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, the kids are worrying about it. It's not the parents, of course, are. Well, of course, we always want to do our best for our children. Not helicoptering or anything like that, but just do our best for our children. But they are seriously worried about it because they know we're working so hard and we are not getting the same playing field. And that is not fair. And they know that, like, my daughter is working every hour that God sends her. But for her to know in the back of her head, the chances are she may not get her course.
What do you think of that, Betty? That
she's working hard.
Yeah.
Harder.
Yeah, well, that's what the point is for this year, you know. So are they going to keep that adding on next year and the year after because the kids will feel they're being robbed?
Yeah. Okay, where's Siobhan? Stay there, Betty. Siobhan Cosgrove. Siobhan.
Hi, Joe. I agree with the previous lady. I think her name was Tara.
Yeah.
I just feel that we need to get on with the Leaving Cert. Life for kids for the last 5 years has been very different. And it hasn't always been equal or equitable. And I have five kids, and from my experience, those that have had to face those challenges are actually more resilient.
Okay, so you're...
COVID is behind us, and I think we're keeping it alive by actually continuing with these
those doing their Leaving Cert this year missed the first year because of COVID, so it's fully not out of the system. But you agree with Tara, life's unfair, let's move on. Anna, do you want to respond finally to that point? Life's unfair, let's move on.
Life is unfair and we should move on, but not to a disadvantage where, you know, 18-year-olds who are working so hard.
Okay.
Life is tough, you know what I mean? But they need to be given the correct grades that they deserve.
Okay.
But when you're against another quarter, how many thousand are going in this year, and the chances are that they won't get them.
80, yeah.
And I think Helen McEntee had said 90% of students last year got their first choices. Ain't going to be that this year.
Okay, we wait and see. Thanks indeed, Anna and Betty and all our callers. Sound Kieran Dunn, broadcast coordinator Shane Galvin, producer Alistair McConnell, and Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Refresh your home this spring with new curtains. Explore our stylish collection now at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Ruth O'Connor, Sean Paul concert. He's a Jamaican singer, Grammy winner. He was in Dublin, was it Tuesday night, I think? And you were one of many, but you weren't there. Your daughter was there. She's unavailable. But you were one of many who were upset. What was wrong with the concert?
Well, she paid good money. She earned the money herself. Part-time job. She bought a ticket for her friend as well. So this was a very exciting evening for them. I dropped them down at 7:30 and I said, ring me when it's over. And at about 11:15, she rang, and the first thing she said was he was hardly on at all. Sean Paul was hardly on the stage at all. She seemed really disappointed. There was other people complaining about it. When I picked her up then, which was probably, it was just after 11:15, she felt that he had come on the stage somewhere between 10:30 and 10:45. And obviously was finished by 11:15, which is really unacceptable.
Well, stuff I've read on Twitter and that say that they're alleging that the support act played for longer than the main act.
Absolutely. But there was also, she said, there was a gap of 30 minutes before Sean Paul came on with absolutely nothing happening.
And
it's just...
Ruth, you said she spent... just on the money. How much did she spend on tickets?
Over €150 because she bought both of the tickets. One of the tickets was a birthday present for her friend. So, and this is on a part-time job. It just frustrates me that artists can do this and there's no consequence to it.
Yeah, and you say you reckon 30 minutes or less.
Yes, yes, based on what she, that's her experience of it. She felt it was somewhere after 10:30 that he came on. She felt like it was closer to 10:45 and he was definitely finished by 10:15 because she called me. I was down, picked them up at 11:30 and at that stage they had already made it almost a little on the East Wall Road. So he definitely didn't play for longer than 10:15. Even on the way home, I said to them, my God, that's totally unacceptable. And I said to them, Bruce Springsteen would be on for 3 hours and he's in his 70s. You know, it's just, it frustrates me that artists can do this or promoters. What, I don't know who to point the blame at.
Well, the promoter apparently is a company called G-Star Empire. I'm looking them up here. They're based in Manchester. They seem to specialise in a particular type of music, but yeah. I've never heard them before, but that doesn't mean anything to me and the world I live in. I don't know how you... There is an address. I see they have an address in Manchester.
Yeah, well, I'll be getting in touch with them.
Okay, but has anyone got in touch with them to see can we have our money back? Do they even acknowledge there is a problem?
Well, I will definitely, on her behalf, or she will definitely be looking for some sort of compensation for that, because I understand it was, from what I gather, it was the first night of a tour. So, I mean, was it being treated like a bit of a rehearsal or something? From what I understand as well, he rushed through all the songs, omitted some of the ones that she would have been waiting to hear.
Well, that does happen in fairness now, but if it's a half, if you're paying between two of you £150 for 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
Well, the problem is it is acceptable because there's nothing you can do about it in Ireland. Stay there with us for a minute, Ruth. Apparently, we have a track here for people who may not be familiar with Sean Paul. This one is called Get Busy. Well, Sean Paul, will you get busy giving people their money back, please? Come on, man, get busy. Get busy. Get down and get busy.
And I better shake that thing, yeah. Donna, Donna, Jordy and Rebecca. Oh, man, get busy. Just say that booty non-stop when the beat drop. Just keep swinging it. Get jiggy. Get pumped up, percolate anything you want. Because it's oscillating if I don't take pity. More to see you get life on the rhythm of my ride. And my lyrics up about electricity. Girl, nobody can do you nothing because you don't know your destiny. Yo, sexy ladies want power with us. You know they care with us. Them not war with us. You know the club, them want flex with us. To get next with us. Them can't vex with us. From the day my bonds, I ignite my flame. Girl, I call my name.
And for those of you who think that's awful, I agree. And we'll have to get RT now to give him a few bob for playing that stuff. Ruth, but that's irrelevant, isn't it? It's irrelevant what I or you think of it. The fact is, people love him. He's won a Grammy, which is a fair bar to reach. Oana, good afternoon.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Hello, hello. You were at the concert.
I was at the concert, yes.
Okay. Did you have a watch or a phone with you? How long did he play for?
He came on at about 10:30.
Okay.
If I can remember correctly. But I didn't stay till the end.
Why not?
He was a bit late. Like, I was anticipating that he'll come on a bit earlier.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a Tuesday evening, you know.
School night.
Stay up too late. Yeah. I was just fed up, I think.
And did you...
After 20 minutes?
Okay.
Mm.
You left after 20 minutes?
Yes, I did.
Wow. And do you mind me asking, how much did you pay for the tickets?
Now, in fairness, the ticket was free for me.
Okay.
I got it from a friend.
Yeah, well, someone paid for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And did anyone else leave after 20 minutes? Well, it's now 10 to...
Yeah, a lot of people left, honestly.
Yeah.
There were a lot of youngins as well.
Young people?
Like unsupervised. Kids.
Oh, wow.
Actual kids. Yeah. That was just another mess as well.
Are you a regular concert goer?
I like gigs. Yeah, going to a few good gigs. Yeah,
well, people, the gigs are back in. People love gigs.
Exactly.
After COVID, they love gigs. They love comedy. They love live performances of anything, stand-up, sitcom, anything, music. It's doing, Vicar Street, as an example, and other great venues around the country, is doing extraordinarily well because people love live performances. But have you ever walked out after 20 minutes?
No.
No, it's not that. That's question number one. Question number two, again, to our listeners, 51551, did you ever get your money back at a concert that you were disappointed in? And I think the answer is no.
No. I've never really, like, been disappointed at any of the concerts that I've been to. But this one was a total, excuse my French, shit show.
Okay. It's the way you say it. Like, it's, you have a beautiful way of saying it. I couldn't say it. Would you go and see him again?
No, sorry. Not after that. No, that's disappointing. Yeah. The guy came on with a jacket on stage, and it was actually hot in there. So I was like, he probably got there and just jumped on stage because he was so late.
Ah, okay. Well, you see, we're trying to get a response from G-Star Empire, but they've obviously got busy with something else, and that's fair enough. They can't jump to our tune, but we'll hope to find out. And now, there's a slew of concerts coming up in Ireland this summer, Oina. Have you planned to go to any other ones?
Maybe some festivals, like the All Together Now festival. I've heard good things.
Yeah, down in Waterford,
Hopefully it doesn't rain now.
Yeah.
There's the EP festival as well. I'm looking forward to going to.
Yeah, Electric Picnic, yeah.
Yes. So,
I just go for Hosier himself. He's one of the headlines, but it's a great lineup. But again, they're expensive, and that's the way things are. But there's nothing that can beat a good live experience, the buzz and the crack and the atmosphere.
If you paid the money for it, like, you deserve the experience, and that definitely wasn't an experience, you know.
It wasn't that. What it was? It was a negative experience.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah. I won't ask you to repeat what you called it earlier. Don't say it. Excuse my French. I mean, don't say it. Who's your favorite? Okay. Who's your favorite musician at the moment? Take your time.
I'd have to think about that now.
Okay.
Maybe there's a musician called Cleo Soul that I really like.
Cleo.
Cleo Soul, sings, her genre of music is neo soul.
Okay. Neo soul, okay.
Neo soul, yes.
Wow. Sounds good. Sounds good to me.
It is lovely.
And creativity is to be admired and encouraged, isn't it? Anyone that can...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's an incredible gift. An incredible gift. Thanks, Oina. Thanks indeed. That's Oina Six about. Ruth, are you optimistic about getting any money back?
Absolutely not. No. It's just, you know, I was so disappointed for my daughter on the night. Like that girl said, you pay for it, you deserve the experience. I'll give it a go, certainly, but mm-hmm. I don't think so. In fact, I was so mad when we got back to the house. I looked Sean Paul up. I don't even know. We didn't even know who he was.
He's big.
Saw him come up on Instagram. So sent a message on Instagram. I just had to vent my anger.
Okay. And did you get a response?
No, of course not. No, he's not following me back.
But you're right. That is the beginning of a tour. So anyway, could be forced night nerves or whatever.
Well.
Okay. I know. Yeah. I hear what you're saying, Ruth. I hear what you're saying clearly.
That's no excuse for him.
Yeah, exactly.
First nightmare.
Yeah, a lot of people in the Three Arena paying a lot of money. They deserve a good show. They deserve value for money. Okay, Ruth O'Connor.
Okay.
Thank you, Ruth. That's Ruth O'Connor. Joe at rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at rte.ie. Gary, I'm just reading your contribution here, your contact, that was some shock in your household on the 6th of April, Sunday. How are you now, yeah. Gary? I know you weren't directly involved, but you were. It was all the family, so it was a pretty traumatic incident.
It was, yeah. Joe, we're doing good as a family at the moment,
great.
Joe.
Okay.
We're united, as strong as ever, I have to say.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So tell us what happened on Sunday.
So, yeah, basically, it's just a regular weekend at the O'Sullivan House. Myself and my brother, I was down from college. My brother's down from Cork for the weekend.
Okay.
And a typical Sunday was full of sport, soccer, hurling and football.
Right.
And my father would be from West Cork, so the GAA would always be a talking point in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, my older brother, Sean Oak, he's 24. He was out walking the dog, like he always does at the weekend.
Okay.
And he came in and he sat down.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the previous Waterford and Offaly game and just talking about how Offaly are improving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say the Cork game had just thrown in.
Yeah.
And he was talking away anyway. And then my father was next to him.
Yeah.
And I was upstairs at the time. My brother was in the other room. And Sean kind of started gurgling. And his head kind of slouched forward. And he kind of slumped into the couch. So my father kind of looked at him.
Wow.
And he saw the colour was draining from his face. And so he went over and pushed his head back. And his eyes were spinning in his head.
Mm.
So then Dad obviously panicked. And, you know, he started nudging him. And there was nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So he called him, there was no response.
Oh, good.
My younger brother had entered into the sitting room at this stage amidst the commotion, and he kind of was like, what's going on? And Dad was like, I sure haven't responded. And Dad felt for a heartbeat. There was nothing. There was no pulse in the wrist or in the neck. And immediately he rang 999, and the lady on the line spoke to him calmly and said, lie Sean Oak on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of it, no, Dad ran upstairs to get me. So obviously I jumped out of the room, ran down.
Yeah.
And Connor, my younger brother, who's only 15, started doing chest compressions at the guidance of the lady on the phone.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Then my father took over and did chest compressions for 8 or 9 minutes until the paramedics arrived. And you know what? Dad thought he was wasting his time because there was nothing happening. But he was encouraged because the lady said the ambulance was close by. So it was 5 minutes, it was 3 minutes.
Okay.
And the ambulance came. And when they came, there was a faint pulse in Sean Oak.
Brilliant, brilliant.
I suppose Dad went let them at it, and they shocked him, and they brought the pulse back, and the heart was into a regular rhythm.
Correct.
And I suppose they worked on him for the bones of an hour.
Wow.
And it was so serious that they had to get in contact with a helicopter crew. So a helicopter was deployed to the area.
Yeah.
And Sean, when he was ready to go from the house, he was rushed to the helicopter, and the helicopter took off to CUH. And
wow.
A team was here to meet him, and he was worked on overnight. And thank God, thank everyone that took part in it. But he's back with us now, and he's happy, he's healthy, he's on the mend.
Brilliant.
He's probably laughing at me right now on the radio, but sure.
No, he's not. Yeah. So when it was quite obvious, quite quickly, that what was happening to Sean Oak was pretty catastrophic.
It was, yeah. I suppose it just happened so quickly, Joe, and my father, who was actually trained as a guard, so he would have some knowledge of first aid and CPR. But you know what? He would have seen it being performed more so than he would have actually taken part in doing CPR. But thank God he had a basic knowledge of it, at least. So he knew, he had an idea of what to do, even though the lady was talking through.
Yeah.
But yeah, it happened so quickly, and he just dropped out of nothing, and it was just so traumatic and terrifying. It's just so.
And the main thing is to keep working on the compressions. And the compressions are, as you get into them, they take a lot out of the compressor, the person who's performing the CPR. So you need you almost need to do a roster of people. You obviously with firefighters, if they take turns in compressing the chest, because it is very, very strenuous. So by the time obviously well done to the first responder there on the phone, and she was able one to instruct and two to reassure by saying the ambulance is 3 minutes, 2 minutes, or whatever, and then they went into. I always say about first responders, when we're having our worst day, they have to have their best day. And thankfully as a nation, we're blessed with them in every part of the country. Great first responders, from firefighters to Gardaí to paramedics to medics, and indeed include a helicopter crew there as well. Sean Og was having his worst day, and once again our first responders were having their best day because they were on top of it. They worked in the house for an hour.
I'd say it was the most of an hour. It felt like an eternity to us, of course. But they had their own checks to do and their own procedures to follow. And I suppose they had to just make sure he was in the right fit to be transferred as well. So they just worked away, and thank God.
And where was the rest of the family at this stage?
So, my younger brother and myself were around the house. My mom, like she usually does at the weekend, she was out with her own mother. And obviously when she heard the news, she rushed home.
Oh, my God.
But it's just lucky because Dad was right next to him. It could have been a totally different circumstance if he was by himself. So.
And well done to your dad.
Yeah, he's always been a hero, but now he has the official title, do you know what I mean? So.
And where did he serve in Garda Síochána?
He started in Cork City.
Okay.
But he's been in between Clarny and Kinmare for most of his career, say. But he's in Clarny at the moment, so.
Oh, he's still serving?
Yeah, he's a year left.
Brilliant. Yeah. And he's probably on duty today, is he?
No, he's not. You know what? He's been off the last couple of months with his own hip injury.
Ah, okay.
But he's actually due to go back next week. So,
okay.
I'm
sure he's done merry as many Gardaí. He's done many heroic things in his career, but that's... That was great composure because when you tell the story, Gary, I could see myself like a headless chicken running around the house, not knowing what to do and screaming and shouting.
Yeah.
You obviously got your act together.
Yeah. So I suppose the reason we're expressing this story is because the story itself is powerful, but the message behind it's even more powerful, that people, anyone that's listening, to get in contact with anyone in their area and serve, I suppose, just get first aid training or basic knowledge of CPR, because my father was the difference between life and death on Sunday.
Wow.
And, you know, anyone, like my younger brother even, who's never had first aid training, was able to help, at least. Anyone had the basic knowledge that they could be the difference. And I suppose just getting the message out there that, Joe, it might save someone's life one day.
Yeah, and to make sure if there's defibrillators in the area, make sure you know where they are. And if there is a defibrillator in your area, everyone owns it. So that means everyone has to keep an eye on it. If there's anyone messing with it, they check them and say, come on, that's life or death for somebody. And remember, with the defibrillator, you can't go wrong. You can't do any harm with a defibrillator. A fantastic community resource. Gary, is Sean Og is hardly home at this stage, is he?
No, he's still being monitored at the moment.
Of course,
they're still testing him. Yeah, but they believe they know what the medical condition or whatever it is. They believe that there was like a thickening in the heart wall or a muscle around the heart that was restricting oxygen flow around the body, and the heart was just struggling. I suppose it was so ticked that it wasn't contracting properly.
Yes, Have you spoken? Have you spoken to him since?
Oh yeah, he's up. He's awake.
Oh, yeah, okay. Does he remember? Yeah. Does he remember much?
He's suffering a bit of short-term memory loss at the moment.
Yes, come back. But I say he's suffering from shock.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But he remembers kind of the gist of the build-up to it, obviously. Then he just woke up in the hospital with a bunch of tubes and machines and everything around him, and doctors and nurses and stuff.
Yeah.
So he is in a state of shock.
Yeah.
But he's, do you know, every time I see him now, he's a smile on his face. Brilliant. I suppose he's just thankful he's here. And as a family, we're just so thankful for everybody that took part in saving Sean and stuff.
And we'll take this opportunity, Sean, if you're listening, in Cork, and in a wonderful, wonderful hospital, great staff. But Sean, Gary and your dad and your other brother and the paramedics, they were all rooting for you. And I know he will show his appreciation, Gary, when the two of you are home soon at the weekend from your various parts of the country with your beloved mother and father, that Sean will be running around getting you cups of tea and cans or whatever your favourite beverage is. Sean, get well soon, Sean O. Good to meet him, Aga. Sean O. Gasulawan. Gary, and what's your dad's first name?
He's Sean as well.
Sean O. Yeah, funnily enough, this is you, Joe. The clue is in Sean O's name. Okay, Sean, Sean O'Sullivan, Sean O'Sullivan, in Killarney and Garda Station, not at the minute, but that's where he's based. Well done. And Gary, well done. And above all, I take on board your message, which is to try and encourage people to learn CPR. It is literally the difference between life and death. Thanks. Yeah. And again, as with Sean Og's case, completely out of the blue, he's out walking a dog. He's a fit young man. He's 24 years of age. And suddenly he's on death's door and he was brought back, thankfully, by none better than his family. Thanks, Gary, and kind regards to everybody.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you.
Okay, good morning. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.